Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every
670.
Week.
670.
Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Stacey Dales. And like all our guests, she's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Stacey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. There's been so much to talk about this week, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
How, you know, I got to tell you, there's nothing wrong with being the lead story. There's nothing wrong with having everybody in the league talk about the Bears, unless it's about that failed Hail Mary full of disgrace, as we were told by one texter.
Yeah, I had the Detroit game, which was a, I don't even know what you call it. It was like a pro team against the varsity team on Sunday, with all due respect to Tennessee. But I was like so eagerly trying to get the Bears game on my YouTube TV and on my phone, and watched it very closely, particularly in the second half. And I'm still on the tarmac trying to leave Detroit, and I watched the ending. So I watched it on the plane, and I was in shock like the rest of everybody. I remember vividly when I caught the tail end of the first, Jim Nantz saying something like, Chicago's fortunate to be down only 9, and that was in the first half. I don't – when you think about, well, they didn't play well enough to win the game, they were in the game, so they could win the game. And in the NFL, a win is a win. I don't care how it comes. There were so many questionable things in the last 7 minutes of the game. It's just kind of hard to wrap your head around it if you're a Bears fan, because I got texted by a lot of them, including somebody that I work with who is, you know, one of the leaders that I work with and is a diehard Bears fan. And the pain in the text message was significant.
So, Stacey, what kind of credibility damage does that create around the league for the Bears and Matt Eberflus specifically, and how does that manifest itself?
Well, you can't really, you know, you blink and you move on in the NFL. I don't think other teams are sitting worrying about what the Bears are doing other than the last play. I think everybody showed their team what can happen. I think timeouts are a lifeline, and I think they breathe life into situations, and I think as a player, I always, you know, basketball's a different sport, but if you had a glimpse of a momentous, you know, the momentum of like Jaden Daniels, he's a rookie quarterback, like a timeout just destroys that, because, and they had timeouts. And listen, I hate questioning coaching decisions, because I'm not in their rooms. You guys know this about me. I'm not in their rooms. I've never coached in the NFL. But I think I'm 16 years in the league, and I have a good eye for, like, things. And I go back to 6:20, fourth quarter. You're down, 12-7. It's third and goal. And, yes, we've all hammered the Doug Kramer end off. He's a sixth-round pick 2 years ago out of Illinois. The man has never taken a snap. He's never run the football out of the backfield. So I asked a question, a very specific question, because I think about the quarterback, and I think about a rookie quarterback. And we always hear in the NFL, like with offensive coordinators, especially these days, the greatest offensive coordinators are going to design the play and the game and the scheme around the assets and the skill sets of their players, correct? Especially a guy like Caleb Williams. So I then in the middle of that moment, think in my head as I'm watching this transpire, what did Caleb want? Now, obviously, the Commanders did a really good job defensively in this game. I mean, I thought their plan was, they stuck to it. They were outstanding defensively. They're the 29th ranked red zone defense in the National Football League. So they've been scored on. And then I think mostly about my quarterback. What would Caleb want in this instance? They're obviously going to see some mass protect. It's third and goal. And then I think in my head, what would they do on fourth down? Would they hand it off to Doug Kramer on a fourth? What if it was fourth and one, fourth and goal? Would you hand it off to Doug Kramer, who this season has played 8 snaps out of the backfield? He's never touched the football. That is a lot of pressure. Now, I saw some analysts out there that criticized Caleb Williams' handoff, that it was too high. Oh, come on. Imagine Caleb handing it off to an offensive lineman for the first time in his career.
Right.
Tell me a time Caleb, at any point in his career, handed it off to a 6'5 offensive lineman out of the backfield. Okay? He's used to handing it off to a 6 foot, 5'8, 5'9, 6 foot running back. And now they got a redo, right? Because they got Roschon Johnson in the end zone. Was it the next series?
Yes.
After another great defensive stop by the Bears defense, who's been outstanding this season. So they got a redo, and Roschon got his touchdown. But, like, I think in my head, what were they thinking giving a handoff to Doug Kramer on third and goal? Because is that what Caleb would that make him most comfortable in that moment? And I'm just not sure. If I were Caleb Williams, that would be the most comfortable play call for me.
Yeah, there were so many problems in that game, but the worst thing about it is that Caleb Williams led them back down to a touchdown to take the lead with 33 sec, whatever it was. And, you know, he had done exactly what Poles had said, you know, you trust in your teammates, and then you do the special. And he had done the special. They took the lead. They had won the game. And to somehow have that turn on you in the fashion in which it did, it's so gutting. And it just robbed them of one of the great moments of their season.
Yeah, I agree. It's a deflating end to, I mean, Nance called it, it's a miracle. I'll never forget. It's a miracle. Well, it is a miracle. And I love Cole Kmet's comments yesterday about respecting the game. Listen, I watched Tyreek Stevenson's, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a delight. I really do. He was an outstanding rookie. He's only in his second season. I think he is extremely remorseful. In fact, if I'm the Bears, I hope he doesn't carry this for too long outside of learning from it. Because he's a young player in this league. He loves the game. He's got a great spirit to be around. So to stand up in front of his team, to apologize in front of his peers, to apologize publicly on a social media platform is one thing, but to do it in front of his teammates. I had teammates in my career that made really horrific decisions. And in game that you could turn around and one and look at a teammate and say, do they really care? And then look at the teammate that does and say, we're going to be okay. I think he's going to be okay. I loved how he handled it. Did he make a mistake? Yes. But, you know, they were not lined up right. Do we all agree? Like, they just weren't.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't lined up right.
How many times is there a Hail Mary? It's a very uncommon thing. But you knew it was coming.
Right.
And when I listened to Flus yesterday, they thought it might come with the 6 seconds. Like, everybody's criticizing why they didn't, you know, bring their corners up and why they just handed them that extra 13 yards. Well, I don't know. My takeaway when I listened to Flus yesterday was they thought the Hail Mary might come on that play. Am I wrong?
Well,
no, he said that.
He said that, but it's implausible.
It was insane.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Because even if it did come at that point, it would have been at like the 10, the 15-yard line. It wouldn't have been in the end zone.
But I'm getting to a point, too, on that. Like, if you thought the Hail Mary was coming the play before, so basically the penultimate play, shouldn't you have been lined up perfectly in your Hail Mary defense on the second
play? Yeah.
And that's the thing that that confuses
Doesn't
me.
Make
and
sense.
When I, as soon as I saw Jaden Daniels skip back to the left, right, they had him out to the right. He comes back to the left. He had open freeway. Like he had his set. He was ready to launch that thing. And, you know, we saw what happened. I mean, his his teammate had, you know, an easy tap into the end zone. He was all by himself. It's a learning moment for sure. I'll say this about Flus. You guys know this. For anybody who watched his presser yesterday, he is never going to throw anybody under the bus publicly.
Yeah.
So if you wanted him to stand up and say Tyreek's bad or Shane didn't make this call, he's never going to do that.
You don't have to, though. You don't have to say things if you have actions that say them for you. And Stacey, I want to back up for a second. I respect the fact that you like and respect Tyreek Stevenson and what he offers in terms of being a dynamic personality, but is contrition enough? Don't you have to send a message? If you are a head coach, you've been in a lot of NFL locker rooms, and every one of them, don't you think that there are head coaches that would send a message by either not starting the kid or being inactive next week? Don't you have to do something that holds him accountable for what was recklessness on that play?
I mean, yeah, if you want to send a message to your locker room, I think of coaches that might do it, and I don't want to be too speculative. I hate that, but like hypotheticals, but like I'm sure Bill Belichick would send a message like that. Mike Vrabel, you know, some of the older school regimes. I don't know. Here's the dilemma you're facing, David. Tyreek Stevenson's one of your best football players.
Yeah, but
he's one of your best players. I know. Are you going to take him out against Arizona with Kyler Murray the way he's starting to play?
Yes.
Like, so, well, I don't think it's going to happen. I think there might be an internal, maybe he doesn't start the game. I don't think we're not going to see him in the whole game next week. I just don't. I think that it was a poor decision on his part. He was in the heat of the moment. I'm not making excuses for him.
I know.
But I don't think they can go without him against they go on the road this week and then they're back for a big home stretch. Like, this is an important game given how the rest of the division is doing. He's one of your best players. Maybe it goes back to his comments. We'll see how the week plays out. We'll see how Tyreek shows up to practice Wednesday through Friday this week. And maybe they make a decision Friday. I don't know, guys. I'm not in that room, but I don't see them suspending him against the Arizona Cardinals this week.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see if anything is done. This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath, Acura, and Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. They also have like serious offensive line issues to the point where it looks like Nate Davis may be resuscitated. I don't know how to think about his career or where he was at, but it seemed like the last couple of games being on the being not on the active roster, it would seem like he was heading to the kind of Velus Jones exit.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because with Tevin and Braxton now in the red, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of shuffle this thing around. I mean, they have to use that's the next man up, right, in the NFL, but. And then how the offensive scheme changes because of that. I thought there were some bright spots on Sunday. You know, DeAndre Swift has really come alive on the ground. It's great to see. I loved that play where he basically hurdled a Commander's defender. But yeah, I think running the football has to be a continued practice for this team for the rookie quarterback. And it is tough. Going back to your point, Molly, to see. You know, he goes home, and it was already an emotional contest against Jaden Daniels, who, by the way, had a ribs injury. I mean, these two guys are great. The debate of, like, who's better, like, I hate that debate. They have different play callers. They're in different circumstances and in different situations, and they're both so uniquely different but gifted, and it's just fun to – it's going to be fun to see their trajectories, but – it's tough because, like, if you think about, like, if the Chiefs were in that game, would Patrick Mahomes have won? And I think I said this to you guys last week, like, the moment's never too big. I think he'll have a short memory, Caleb will. And his fourth quarter was so impressive. He just went out and played. And I think a lot of that was just him playing. That throw to Keenan Allen where they improvised across the field, he goes out to the right and he throws it back to the left across the field. Keenan makes the adjustment. Those are just playmaking, natural, innate instinct type plays. And that's kind of where when I watch the Commanders, the ball just goes to open space. Like, Terry McLaurin had a field day just throwing darts into open space where he runs his route and the boom, the ball's right there. I hope for the Bears it gets easier that way more consistently.
So you've got Lions-Packers, and that's going to be one of the biggest games of the week. And you look at those two head coaches, they have impact on Sundays. I just wonder, when you consider the game you're about to cover and you watch the team that we're talking about now, did what happened last Sunday in Landover change your opinion about whether the Bears can contend in that division?
Oh, that's a great question, David. In the sense of, I hate, the idea of, because it was a Hail Mary, it's so uncommon. It's just really unprecedented. I can't believe it happened.
Yeah. 6 years since the last Hail Mary.
Right? Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize it was six, Molly. Yeah. What doesn't change my perception, I'll answer it this way, is how good the Lions are outside of their inability to get off the edge the way they could with Marcus Davenport and Aiden Hutchinson. And how good I think the Packers can be. I mean, and we'll see how quickly things can change. We just, obviously Minnesota, Detroit beats them, and then they go and play the Rams. The Rams beat them, but their defense is top five in the league. I mean, as we've talked about. So I think between Dan Campbell and Matt LaFleur right now, they've got a better defense in Green Bay. I just think their ability to win games situationally down the stretch, the way they won, the way Detroit beat Tennessee, that's how they should have beat them, right? They did that right. And then they go to Minnesota the week before and win with complimentary football down the stretch with management. They just really situationally managed the game with Goff. They have that thing now. They've got that. If they add a pass rusher, shoot. I mean, it's going to be a problem for the rest of the division, but they're those two right now still are to me, and it's going to be tough for the, we'll see. I mean, the Bears play the Packers week 11, and I believe it's in Chicago, and yep. I anticipate having that game, and we'll learn a lot about them then. The divisional games matter so deeply in this league.
Are you or are you not a candidate for the Chicago Sky head coaching job?
Hey man, my phone has not gone off, so I don't think so.
Oh, darn! I was hoping they might have called.
But when I was in my first year as a Chicago Sky player, you know who we hired?
Who?
Dave Cowens.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Dave Cowens had never coached a female basketball player. That was an experiment, guys. I'll tell you, that was an experiment. That was something else. I'll never forget. We went 1-1. We barely won a game, but no doubt, Teresa Witherspoon with her gone. We'll see who they hire that Angel Reese likes.
Exactly.
I gotta tell you, the WNBA had a big year. Stacey, they fired half the coaches.
7 of 13 coaches.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Can you believe it? Right. Christy Sides, who helped turn around that thing in Indy with Caitlin Clark. And then Stephanie White, who's, had her team in the playoffs. Now, everybody's saying Stephanie White's going to go back. You remember, she played at Purdue, won a national championship at Purdue. She actually coached me for a hot minute in Chicago as an assistant coach. Yeah, it'll be interesting, but yeah, the WNBA really.
So she could be your assistant.
Look at you! Oh boy,
shoot, man! And then you could really criticize some play calls because I've been out of the game for a while.
Thanks, Stacey.
You're the best. Thank you, Stacey.
All right, see you guys.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
That'd be great,
Stacey Dales with the NFL Network. Hey, before Chicago takes on Arizona, tune in Sunday from noon to 3 p.m. for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's, Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, both really strong this week. And even me, not quite as strong. will be live at Wonderverse in Oak Brook, as we'll get you set for the game. And then immediately following the game, we'll have instant reaction from Wonderverse on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard out in the Score and the Odyssey app. Why don't you come out? Come out and see us. I believe Dustin is coming out, David.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have a great day.
He's going to be running the show.
Yep. So
that's frightening.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So everyone knows by now that Will Venable is going to be the next White Sox manager, the 45th manager. Is it 44?
44.
44. He's 42.
He's 42.
It's 44.
It's number 44.
Okay.
I don't know what number he'll be wearing on the back of
probably
his jersey.
Probably 45. Let's
hope
it all connects.
Yeah, it all connects.
At any rate, it's interesting because everyone now is starting to check in about it, including our guy AJ Pierzynski. Does a great podcast, and he has advice of how to connect with the fine folks on the South Side.
We're working so hard. We're showing up at the ballpark at 3 a.m., and we're going to outwork them. You know, that doesn't matter. Like, so, yeah, just be accountable and tell the truth. Like, say what's happening. That's why the fans in Chicago are not the Cubs fans. Well, I'm talking White Sox fans here. They're blue-collar, hardworking, most of them. Now, obviously, there's exceptions, right?
Sure.
But that's kind of what their M.O. is. So they want people that tell – that's why they loved Ozzy so much. Because Ozzy would be like, these guys suck today. And they're like, okay, we've all had bad days. We can deal with that, right? And then you got the players that the players were like they would interview me after the game. Like, yeah, man, I struck out of the base. It was just a bad day. We'll try and get it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Struck out because, I don't know, I just had a bad day. Sorry. They were like, okay, cool.
Sox fans.
That's smart. He's speaking from experience. That's he's true. Also that is one guy that I hope Will Venable, if he has a relationship with AJ, he needs to explore it and talk to him. If he doesn't, he should establish one. AJ Pierzynski is a guy you want to have as an ally for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, he's smart. He knows the game.
Yeah.
But secondly, he understands the fan base, he understands this market, and he understands the power of perception. And Will Venable, a first-time manager, could use all the help in that regard because it is new. He's going to be the face of the franchise, speaking to people, projecting a couple times a day.
Yeah, it'll be good to get to know him and to get to hear him and what he has to say because, you know, you only get one chance for a first impression. Is that the old line?
Yeah.
So whenever the news conference is, if Bruce is right and it's tomorrow, then that'd be great. I just like to learn who the guy is and what he has to say. And you don't have to say we're going
to
kick your arse
or
whatever nonsense it was.
No.
Hey, you know, this is an uphill climb, but we're in it together and we're going to. Yeah, I mean, I think people are desperate for change on the South Side. Although, apparently, Grady Sizemore could be back on his staff.
AJ suggested that. Yeah. Yes. Well, you could see that being the case.
That's
if he
fine.
Was highly regarded and respected yeah. as part of the organization, he did a commendable job, a respectable job as the interim manager. I could see that.
If he had been appointed earlier, I think they could have avoided the worst season.
Possibly. You think so?
Baseball. I do. I thought, what was he, 30 or 13 and 42?
Not
something
sure.
Like that. If you extend that out, it would have been slightly better than Pedro was.
You okay if the press conference is on Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
You okay with that?
Definitely.
I know you're big on karma. Everything
you know,
fitting together.
I'm not, unlike you, I don't just look forward to dressing up on TV. I won't be doing that tomorrow.
Listen, I won't be dressing up on TV. But can you imagine me dressing up on TV?
Didn't you just talk about that?
No,
I did not. You said you had fangs and some fake blood.
No, I didn't.
You were gonna put
that was Dustin trying to get me to dress up on
Dustin.
TV. I will not be dressing up on TV.
I thought you were going as ranch dressing.
Or if not ranch dressing, then a hot dog.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine me dressed up as a hot dog?
I can't.
I have to tell a funny story, though. They had a Halloween party yesterday at the United Center.
Oh.
And I was there for the shows on the Chicago Sports Network. And I was going, they were having it on the third floor, and I was going down to the first floor, and I was on the elevator, and the elevator door opens, and I walk in. There's Betty the Bull.
Oh, was he dressed up?
Betty the Bull.
But was he dressed up for Halloween?
He was going to a Halloween party. He was, okay. Betty the Bull is already dressed up as Halloween.
Benny is an actual, no, that's a real outfit.
That's a costume, Molly.
He would have to put a mask on or something or you'd recognize.
Did he have a bag of popcorn?
He had some popcorn ready to go like disperse on the children, I guess.
Maybe that was someone dressed as Benny.
I think it was. Okay. I think it was because it wasn't the actual Betty the Bull. I don't suspect, because you know that Benny the Bull and I have history.
Oh, so yeah.
There's some bad blood there.
Was it Jerry?
No, because he gave me a fist pump, and Jerry probably would not have done that. So I got a fist pump from Benny the Bull. He got out. She got out. Benny went and entertained
the
children.
Does he have an office there?
Somewhere.
I'm sure Michael does, but does Jerry also?
Oh, does Jerry? I thought you meant Benny the Bull.
No. Oh, yeah.
Benny's got a dressing room. I'm talking about an office.
Does Jerry Reinsdorf have an office at the United Center?
Yes.
I suspect he does. He has been there in recent weeks. I imagine he has somewhere to.
Did you tell him about the open invitation?
I didn't get that far.
If you run into him, if I do, make sure you tell him we're anxious.
Listen,
to
if he sees
him.
Me coming down the stairwell, I don't think he's continuing. I think he's probably turning around.
How would he see you on the stairwell if you're not on the elevator?
Sometimes I take the elevator. Sometimes I take the stairs.
But I'm saying he, I guess, would take the elevator, wouldn't he?
Possibly.
A private elevator, Molly. It's a private elevator.
That's what I was implying.
But I'm not dressing up as a hot dog. That might be fun.
What are you going as?
I'm not going as anything, Molly. Okay. Stop that.
When we were kids, we always went as a bum. All you did is you just put like charcoal on your face and you carried a stick with like a little...
The old hobo with the do-rag, the bandana. Hobo.
Yep.
You were one of those 14-year-olds that went trick-or-treating, right?
Oh, I mean, listen, like I am the youngest of three boys. I was forced to go trick-or-treating, you know, into high school, to be brutally honest about it. And I was also the biggest. So imagine like, you know.
Where number 19?
6'2 at the time, Mully. Like a
you were 6'2 in sixth grade, weren't you?
I grew in eighth grade. I might have been like 5'10 at the end of the football season, and then I was 6'3 by the time I started high school.
That's a big kid.
I was a big kid.
You're a big freshman.
I was clumsy as well.
Oh, the coaches were fighting over which varsity sport you would play.
No, it was never. I mean,
somebody that big, you know that they want you to be in their locker room.
Yeah, I was only playing one sport.
Yeah, but you were recruited to play another, right?
You know, I could play other sports, but.
You played soccer, but they wanted you to play football.
I wanted to play soccer. I played football when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But my high school didn't have football. It was a seminary high school.
Nonviolent.
Go and be a fisher of men.
Instead of an edge rusher.
It's a pity.
Edge rushers are really fishers of men.
It's a pity I wasn't big in eighth grade as opposed to high school. Because, boy, if I had my growth spurt a little earlier.
So speaking of the Chicago Sports Network, as we were.
Yes!
Good letter to the editor this morning by our own Mitch Rosen.
How about Mitch?
Well crafted. You know, for a radio guy, he can write a little bit.
It was pretty good. Did you ghostwrite that?
No, I did not. Don't assume that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, he did. He wrote
making a joke. Bitch.
The headline in the Sun Times: Letters to the Editor. Can't find the game on TV. Crank up the radio instead. And it talks about how the radio, if you're searching for the games and you're waiting for the carriage deal between CHSN and Xfinity, which I think is inevitable but it hasn't happened yet. Mitch suggests very. Very nice, well-written letter. Turn on the radio.
Yeah.
All the Bulls games are still going to be on the air. So
right here,
with Swirsk, Bill Wennington, and Alyssa Bergamini. And they give all shout-outs. And they get pretty good play here. It's a very well done. So, Mitch. Fans can find the game broadcast through multiple audio platforms, including the AM 670 signal, FM and HD quality on 104.3 FM.
How about that?
How about that? Or any home smart speaker on the free Odyssey app.
Wow.
Very well done. So it was definitely nice to see that in the paper this morning for those who still read newspapers. Those of us read newspapers.
We read newspapers. And
yeah, we do.
Shall. Yeah. I love reading the newspaper.
Oh, we shall. But boy, it's bleak. I feel terrible for our industry because of the decline. And there's another in the Tribune today. Laura Washington writes a column just summarizing the decline of the newspaper industry. And it's staggering. And it's disappointing. Yeah. And it's demoralizing. And I feel so much respect for the people still fighting the good fight there.
We were lucky to make that transition, both of us.
Feel fortunate, yes.
Yeah, no question about
it. We miss it a lot, but I do feel fortunate that we did it at the right time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's just the reality of the newspaper industry. I mean, you know, people would tell you that you're a buggy whip salesman at the time, and you just didn't see it. And,
right.
You know, the Sun-Times is still publishing, which is extraordinary because there were a lot of people fearful that that wouldn't be the case at this point.
And absolutely. So, remember those days. It was always the next year was going to be the last one. You know, that was always going to be the case.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
With the Sun-Times. You heard that all the time. Tonight at the United Center, the Bulls back in action. Speaking of Swirsk and Bill Wennington and Alyssa.
Yeah, big game.
Pre-game here on the score at 6:45. Paolo Banchero comes in with the magic after scoring 50 against the Pacers. Who guards him?
It's got to be Patrick Williams. He's their best defensive player.
And takes a village.
Well, that's the answer.
How good is Banchero? Is he top 15?
He's a pretty good player, and he's been growing since he got into the league, so that's good to see. I wish he was on the Bulls. That helps.
I wish they had a player like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that Patrick Williams is probably the guy with that assignment.
I think so. Yeah, I do. They haven't been real defensive-minded with Billy Ball. Right. Billy Ball, the idea is not to guard many people. It's to get the ball, go, and shoot.
Yeah.
They gave up 70, I think, and a half against Memphis the other night. So
if you're Orlando, are you worried about the outside shooting? Would you defend the outside shooting, or would you let him go?
I definitely would defend the three-point line more than I would protect the paint. Mm. You have to make a decision. I don't think you could do both. I would maybe let Vooch do his damage and try to defend Kobe White, Zach LaVine, and whoever else might be hot from three-point land. The Bulls need some multiple guys to get hot from three-point land. Won't have Lonzo Ball tonight. 10-day absence with a wrist injury, not related to his knee.
Right.
So I hope the Bulls, at 2-2, the first five games, we talked about that being a gauntlet. If they could find a way to win tonight,
yes,
and begin the season 3-2, I think everybody would be thrilled.
It would be extraordinary if they could do that. It would.
It would be. I think that's not overstating it. It would be.
Honest to God, it's amazing to me that they're 2-2 right now. Just given the way things were going and what you thought coming in and all the rest of it, I think it really speaks volumes about the change of style.
I agree with that. What happens in Game 5 tonight?
I would probably think that it's going to be a tough one for the Bulls just because. What did he have? Banchero had 50 points last time out.
Yeah.
You know, he's good.
Tough one tonight. You think Garrett Cole shuts down the Dodgers tonight? Game 5?
I guess. I'm not as fascinated with it. I think it's over, and I think it's just a question of when the Dodgers win.
Never
probably
over.
Back in L.A., it's over. And the fact that they didn't win the first three games. Unless Aaron Judge starts. If he had like four homers today, I'd be like, wow, oh, here we go. Because obviously Otani's not going to get healthy again. He's kind of beaten up.
You know, the tag of not being good in October never really, I guess it affects like a guy like Kershaw's legacy. You wonder if this World Series, if Aaron Judge doesn't ever, he's had a bad postseason. How is that going to affect him going into next year and the way that he's viewed by Yankees fans?
I mean, he's got his contract. It's not going to damage him from that perspective, but no one's going to make any Reggie comparisons, if that helps.
That's true.
I mean, you know, you would like to be at your best when it matters most. And for the most part, Otani has done that. But Judge, had a terrible playoffs, and he's struck out quite a bit, and he's just, you know how it is with hitters and slumps. You got to go back to the basics, and you just got to – I was reading that Boone was talking about moving him into the leadoff spot.
Yeah, I saw that.
Try to fire him up
like Ohtani. I just hope those Yankees fans leave Mookie Betts alone tonight.
How about that? Do we have that audio? Can we give a little hint of that before we get to Dan and Marshall?
It was quite a scene.
Yeah. Don't we have a WFN?
They ripped the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove. It was like it was a Saturday Night Live skit. It was hilarious.
And honest to God, I thought it was a joke because there's no way that they're actually going to do this during a game.
Wide right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. So an out, one gone in this first. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Pries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
The guy literally is trying to open his glove. He's got his glove closed, so he puts his other arm up like he's going to block the glove. So the guy... And another fan grabs his arm, has him by the wrist.
It was crazy.
That's like assault.
What does A for effort mean?
I don't quite know. What was that? I think it means you probably got a D, but you tried hard.
I'm not quite sure what that was in reference to.
I mean,
Who got the A?
The fan for trying to tear the ball out.
Joe Davis is giving the fan who broke the law, basically, he should be charged and ejected, and he gave him an A for effort.
Yes.
Please.
But he gets an F for arrest. They probably didn't arrest him, but they kicked him out of the game.
Kicked him out of the game as they should have.
And they probably paid a lot of money for those tickets.
That's ridiculous. What a clown.
But they looked like, you know, I mean,
they look like plants.
We should probably dress up as Yankee fans.
Tomorrow?
Season ticket holder.
Oh,
and
really?
Supposedly, at this time, is going to be back at the game tonight.
No. Oh. You can't let him back. Oh. But he got seasoned.
But if he tries, I'll give him an A for effort.
There you go.
Could he be banned?
Yes.
Of course you ban him.
Of course you ban him.
You can't grab somebody. What is wrong with you?
Let people just walk all over you, Dustin?
Who are you, Eberflus? Wow. Mr. David coming from the top rope on that one. All right, we've got Dan and Marshall here. It's
Layla Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
I think so.
I forgot what day of the week
it was. It's Wednesday,
it was.
October 30th.
My fault.
All right.
All right, we'll be right back. Mully and Haw on the score.